is like our second time up here.
And yeah. It's cool.
Still feel so blessed.
Gotta get my Bible.
You know, and I thought to myself, we haven't done a Bible confession in this building yet. So, guess what? Before you sit down and relax, I just feel like I want to dedicate this Bible confession to the Lord for everything that he's done. And really, truly, it's just been by trusting in his word to lead us and guide us this far that we have what we have, and the best days for us are ahead. And so let's stand up, you know, with me. And, you know, if you are new here, I don't know if we have any new guests here this morning. We say this because we do believe that the Bible has the power to transform our life. And I think, you know, every single one of us have a testimony. If you've read any of the Word of God and you've applied it in your life, you find life change happening. And so, Jesus, you know, we dedicate this confession to you. You are in the house with us today, and you hear us when we say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert, and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible seed of the ever-living Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. All right. Praise God. Yeah.
My gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Well, all right. So I hope that you came in faith this morning to hear from God. You know, Scripture says, draw nigh to God, and he draws nigh to you. And so sometimes we think, well, we just came to church. I've drawn nigh to God. But that's the first step. You're here. But it's really drawing nigh to him in our hearts.
Yes.
And that's, so you come with a heart of expectation that whatever it is that's going on in your life today, you know, we pray this prayer all the time that God would take, let me just type in, I'm not used to this computer thing here, but this will all change too as we get going. But God will take the faith in our heart and take the circumstances that you're in, and we pray that God takes our words yes. and the message that he's given us to give to you today and applies it somehow in your life. You know, sometimes it can seem overwhelming to us. You know, like, Lord, like people coming in with all these different things going on in their life, how does one message do that? But it's like the loaves and the fish.
Right.
You know, serving 5,000 people. It's like, how did that little bit do that for all those people? It did it because, for one thing, God is just the master at taking apart things like that and feeding us where we need it. And so I pray that your heart is open and receptive, just like what we just said in that confession. And so our message today is titled New Roads and New Beginnings. And here we are in a new place. You know, this is a new beginning for us.
New year.
New year, yeah. And I think one of the most beautiful things about walking with God and knowing God is that he is a God who gives us new beginnings in our life. Like when things can sometimes look like they're at their worst, it's gone from bad to worse, the situation is looking bleak, you're thinking, okay, it's all over. Maybe the season has gone on really long. Throughout the Bible we see this. We see God always has a way, it seems like, a way and a plan to bring a new beginning out of something that seems like it's ending. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, I'll just start in Genesis, where it says that the earth was void and without form, and darkness was all upon the face of the deep. And then there's the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters. And God speaks, and just like what you were saying in your exhortation, you know, a new beginning. He establishes a heaven and earth, and he puts lights and plants and animals, and it's brimming with life. He creates life in man. And then in Noah's day, you know, it said the earth became filled with darkness again, and wickedness filled the earth. And God caused a great flood to come over the earth and overtake the earth. And, you know, I think Noah, even though he was put in that ark with those people and the animals, I mean, it said it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It was like a deluge. And then after that, it wasn't just 40 days and 40 nights they were in that ark. It lasted over a year. And think about it. tossed inside of that ark, you know, on the waters, I'm sure it looked pretty grim at sometimes in their minds on the inside, like, are we ever going to come again to the dry earth? Is this ever going to change in our life? And sure enough, you know, God dries up the waters after almost a year's time and brings the sunshine out, creates a beautiful rainbow in the sky, makes a promise he'll never do that again. But it all started, it was all a new beginning. It all started as a brand new beginning. And then, you know, we see how the people were stuck in slavery for 400 some years. His people, again, you know, there's darkness, they're in bondage, they're slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And 430 some years is a long time to think, like, are we ever going to get out of this situation? But God hears their cry, and he sends a deliverer to them, and he leads them out of Egypt. I mean, this new beginning starts for them, not just like leading them out, okay, here we go, but it says that all the wealth of Egypt he gave to them. And it said not one feeble one was among them. So, I mean, the new beginning wasn't just, okay, it's just going to start. It's like it blossomed.
Come on.
He was leading them into the promised land. And then I think, of course, one of the greatest new beginnings we see is how in the Bible God looked at the state of the world. I mean, this is the gospel message, that God would look at the world filled with sin, a sin-sick world, really, people lost and dead in sin. And it said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would find everlasting life. And if that isn't like the greatest beginning to go from death to life that any of us could ever have, I don't know what is. And so God, you know, makes the ultimate new beginning for us at salvation. And he just makes new beginnings out of endings, like in the natural, and he does it in the spirit.
Right.
And so whether you realize it or not, you know, when you were, if you were born again, if you've given God your life, your heart, you have been made brand new on the inside of you. In your spirit, you've been made brand new. God is spirit, and we're made in his image. And so I think often we live our life like on two dimensions only. We see the physical side, the natural side, and then we think, well, I see that physical side of me, and then there's the soulish side of me. The soul meaning like how our mind, our thinking, our emotions, and you do. I mean, those are the two parts of us. But we actually are three parts to our being, because we are made in the image of God, and God is spirit. So there's a spirit on the inside of you. And the great part of this, I mean, turn in your Bible. We don't have PowerPoint, so if you brought your Bible, hopefully you did, to 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Yeah,
I mean,
make sure your phone doesn't ring. I know that a lot of people got their electronics going now. I'm still not that fast on it. I like paper.
Yeah. And it's really a miracle, the new beginning that God gives us when we give our life to him, that he makes you alive with his own eternal life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, that therefore if any person, and I'm reading from the Amplified for this part of the scripture, therefore if any person is engrafted into Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and new has come. I mean, you are a new creation on the inside of you, alive to God. And especially when you give God your life and your heart, there's a new beginning that he starts in you. I mean, look at verse 21. It says this, if you're there in your Bible, verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Awesome scripture.
I listened to how verse 21 is from the Living Bible. It's a paraphrase, but it says, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. And then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. So in other words, I mean, he takes the penalty for our sin upon himself. And it doesn't just stop there. It's like, okay, I took your penalty. Now what?
Right.
He pours into us his very own righteousness. That's a big word. But it gives us, basically what it's saying is, it gives us right standing with God, that we could stand in the presence of God as if we've never sinned.
Hello.
That's a new beginning. I mean, he can take a child of the devil,
come on,
one day, and make him a child of God in a moment, in an instant.
In an instant.
I mean, and that's a new beginning. That's what I call a real new beginning.
the truth is, there's only two spiritual realms in this earth. Contrary to what people would like to believe, there's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. That's it. There's no in between. There's followers of Christ, and there's followers of the prince of the power of the air. And the prince of the power of the air is Satan, is the devil. Yeah. You know? So those are the two realms that exist here on this planet. And a lot of people will say, well, hey, I'm not a follower of Satan. I'm not a devil worshiper. I'm a good person. You know, but here's the thing. Jesus says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Pretty cut and dry, folks. If you're not for me, you're against me. You know, he made it clear that there's only two spiritual realms in this earth. And people, all people, are subject to one or the other. You know, the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. You and I are subject to one or the other. You have, by default, chosen one without making a decision. So let's open up our Bibles. We're going to take a look at this. It's going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired letter to the church at Ephesus. And this is just a tremendous book of the Bible. I love reading this because it gives you the your legal standing with God. It tells you how Christ has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Actually, wait till you read this with us. Ephesians chapter 2, let's turn there. You know, they're going to be up here on the screen here coming up next week. So, that'll be nice. Amen? And so, let's pick it up in verse 1 here. This is, he's talking to Christians now. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you... Is everybody there? I want to make sure. You know, Hey, when we first started out, I didn't know where anything was in the Bible. And somebody had mercy on me and let me help me find things out, so I don't want to just quickly go past it. I want you to take a look and I want you to find it. Because when you put your eyes on this word, there's something supernatural that happens. You know, there's something supernatural that happens. Yeah. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before so that we should walk in them. These 10 verses make it very clear the distinction between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, Jesus Christ. He is the king. He is the King of Kings. And then there's the kingdom of darkness, which is the prince of the power of the air. There are multitudes of people here on this planet that are completely deceived. They are, like I said, I don't worship the devil. I don't follow the devil. The truth is that if you have not made a decision for Christ, you are in his kingdom and he has authority over you.
Yeah.
There's no neutral ground in this battleground. None. There's not like, I'm a nice guy, I'm getting into heaven. Our niceness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. You and I can never come up to the righteousness of God. And just like what Pastor Mamie read, that new beginning Jesus gave us, he gave us his righteousness. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Oh my gosh, that's a new beginning, folks. That lit me up. But listen, everybody say all.
All.
We all start out with a fallen nature. We all start out separated from God. Everybody. The great scripture, most people know it, found in Romans chapter 3. It says this, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you look up that Greek word, all, it means all. All. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah. All. All of us started out in enemy territory.
Yeah, right.
It's because we're born into this earth. Yeah. And Adam was the problem with that. Adam and Eve both put the mankind in this position. And God, who loved us with an intense love, sent his son Jesus Christ to rectify it, to give us this new beginning.
Right.
You know, so we all are subject to one kingdom or the other, everybody on this planet.
Right.
You know, I have to tell you, too many people will tell you, I'm a good person. Let me tell you, I want you to listen carefully. Hell's going to be filled with more good people than bad people. Because being good does not qualify you for heaven.
Yeah.
It's your faith in Jesus Christ. It's the gift of God's grace. We read it in Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah. By grace are you saved through faith. That's your faith believing in the gift that God has given us. Instantly we have a new beginning.
Right. And of course God does expect good works after that. It's not as though
right. He
does expect us, you know, then to walk with him on a road. And this is, you know, that's the story of the gospel, really.
Yes.
That God has made a clear path, a clear road for every single person in the earth who's walking in darkness to come out of darkness and be born again and walk in his marvelous light. And we just read, like in Ephesians chapter 2, just like what Pastor Steve was saying, that you cannot earn your salvation. This
right.
is not something that we could ever do. You could never be perfect enough. You could never be good enough to match God's righteousness. I mean, he's perfect in all of his ways. We just sang that song.
Yes.
Perfect in all your ways. Well, I mean, just live 1 hour on the earth and you realize, I'll never make it. So we have to receive the gift of salvation, and then God puts us on this road with him towards good works.
Amen.
Towards walking that out.
Amen.
And nobody is ever too far gone for God's love and mercy to reach. This is the beauty, again, of the gospel, because he delights in taking what seems to be like an ending, something old and broken and torn and just seemingly used up.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm over. It's done. People think I've sinned too much. But it's never too much for his grace and mercy to reach into their life and make a new beginning. I mean, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to see this in the story of the woman who's caught in adultery. It's John chapter 8. We're going to read again.
I mean, how many are reading through the New Testament? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Look at all those hands going up. Yes. That's life in that word.
This is the story of the woman caught in adultery. You know, if you've been around church at all, you're familiar some with this story. It starts in John chapter 8. And I'm going to read
verse 1
to 11. All right, it says, but when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, he returned to the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And when they had put her in the middle, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us to stone such, but what do you say?" They said this, testing him, that they might have something to which to accuse him. You know, they're thinking, okay, Jesus, if you're so righteous and she's guilty, you know she should be stoned if we're going to give her justice. And they did. They wanted to slam the book at her and say, give her justice, what she deserved. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who was without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her."
Awesome.
And then again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Being convicted by their conscience, those who heard it went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even to the last. And then Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had stood up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So here's this woman. I mean, let's just consider this situation. Here's this woman who's been beaten up by living, you know, in a sinful lifestyle. I mean, and her sin is being made public, like blasted right in the public square. The Pharisees are yelling to Jesus, "She deserves to be stoned. You know, she's an adulterer." And they're yelling this in the public. "She deserves justice. You know, give her her due, really." I mean, think about what this woman must have felt like just standing there. To say the least, she had to have felt humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to have felt ashamed. She had to have felt completely unworthy, like she's just standing there with people accusing her. You know, she had to have felt guilt.
Right.
And there's this crowd of people, you know, calling out for her death sentence, and then she's standing there next to this holy man who's been called, you know, the Savior, the Messiah. And she's probably thinking, you know, if these people don't kill me, God's going to just strike me dead right here from my sin. And, you know, sin will beat you up.
Oh, you how know, come it was so quiet there?
Because we all know it. We're all like going, yeah, we're thinking back on stupid stuff and things and ways and seasons in our life, you know. I mean, it has a deceptive lure to it at the front end. It'll come this way. It'll satisfy you. Come this way. It'll give you pleasure. Come this way. You're going to experience more power somehow in your life.
Yep.
But it never delivers. It might seem like it delivers at first, but in the end, its fruit is bad.
Oh.
You know, because it'll steal. I mean, it's really the devil's mode of operation in the earth. It'll
right.
steal from you. It'll kill and destroy you. It steals your identity. It'll kill your sense of purpose.
Amen.
You know, it'll rob you. It'll want to just destroy any hope in your life of experiencing anything good from God. It's like God doesn't like you. Don't go that way. And, you know, you have to see something. We have to all see something, because the truth is, for our sin, we all do deserve death.
Right.
I mean, this is the justice of God. And if you want to turn there, I have it here just quickly in my notes, but Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But, this is the good news, but the free gift of God
yes.
is eternal life through
awesome.
Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life.
You got to read that whole scripture, not just the one portion, because the good part's at the end.
Yeah. I mean, this is really what Jesus was doing. This he was, I don't know, maybe when he knelt down, you know, in the dirt, he's writing, what did he write? I don't know what he wrote. Maybe he wrote forgiveness in the dirt. I don't know. But I mean, this is what this Jesus gave this woman standing there. He gave her an opportunity for a new beginning
yes.
in her life.
Yes.
So he says to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Just go and sin no more." So he offers her a new beginning. He offers her forgiveness. And then he says, like, take a new road.
There.
Honey, go. Take a new road. Sin no more. Go down this road.
You know, when God gives you a new beginning, it also means he's giving you a new road to travel.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, that only makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, we all have a past. We remember that past. And then God comes into our life. And now he's given us a new road to walk down.
Yeah.
You know, if the road you've been on is full of pain, you know, suffering, sin, destruction, you know, Jesus will direct you onto a new road.
Yeah.
If you have ears to hear. Because he's calling out to everybody. You know, sometimes we got to say goodbye to old friends because they want to call you back to that same old road. Get in the ruts with the rag wagon wheels, you know. They want you to come back to the old ways because misery loves company.
Yeah.
Come on back to the old habits. Come on, you know. Yeah. And that's when you get, oh, now you're better than me, huh? I said, no, I just don't want to live that way anymore. And they're going to pull you back to the old talk that you used to run through your mind.
Yeah.
Like that woman, like Pastor Mamie was saying, that, you know, she had to feel humiliated. She had to feel guilty. You know, that new beginning with Christ is you're forgiven. That new beginning with Christ is you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's your new identity. And you know, you and I have to trust on who's leading us into this new road, down this new road. You know, because Jeremiah says that God's thoughts toward us are good.
Yeah.
He has a good plan for our life. He has plans to prosper us. You know, God is a God of abundance. He wants to prosper us. You know, just like this woman, we don't get what we deserve. We get God's mercy. I'm all for it. I am all for it. You know, it again, this road is going to be scary. Why is the road going to be scary? It's because it's not normal compared to your old life.
Yeah.
You know, we all know people that run from one crisis to the next, to the next, to the next, and because it's comfortable for them. They don't break out because being normal is uncomfortable. And so what we're doing here is this road that God has marked out for you with a destiny that's good. It has blessing. It has purpose. It has freedom in it.
Yeah.
Remember that Ephesians scripture we read here in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2? Verse 10 is like a phenomenal scripture.
Yeah.
You know, when you read the Bible, don't just read, I'm going to read a chapter, I'm all right, I got it done. No, read it and let God talk to you. Because that 10th verse in Ephesians chapter 2 says this. He says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. In other words, God's got a path for us. He's got this new road for us. We've been given a new beginning. And this new beginning is a whole paradigm shift. Is that when you serve somebody, you're blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's when I help you that somehow God works it that I am now feeling better about my life. I'm actually doing something that God would do.
Yeah.
And he has these all laid out on his road for us.
Yeah.
And you know, his road for us got no potholes. Actually, his roads are painted with transparent gold. So let's get on them. I'm all for it. But we have to get on the right road with God.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
You know, our children's ministry name, the new name is My One Kids Church. And, you know, and the little tagline is your journey with God begins here at My One. It's My One of a lifelong road of walking with God. And I mean, that's the goal of the church, is to help you get your child established on the right road.
Yes.
Mile one, but it's just mile one, because it's going to take several miles, as we all know, to get there, to run our race and finish. But it's mile one of a lifelong journey with God. And there are really some great things planned. Jason mentioned that at the front end in our children's ministry. There's a giving tree that they are creating. And I just want to say that you'll have to go ask the teachers back there what that's all about and take a look at it back. It's getting started on that back wall. But, you know, going back to the story, the woman caught in adultery, Jesus gave her a new beginning, and he did. When he
Amen.
Said, go and sin no more, he was directing her to a new way of living. And, I mean, because Jesus, of all people, I mean, think about it. He bore the weight of the sin of the world. He understands the destructive power of sin in our life. The deception of Satan is to say it's not going to hurt you how you live, you know, how you walk this life out. But Jesus understood that, having borne the weight of the sin of the world. And so he directs her onto a new path. And it's characterized, I think, when he says, go and sin no more, he is meaning, I want you to walk a path that is, that I'm walking on.
Yes.
And if we've been made the righteousness of God, then he wants us to live a righteous kind of life that is filled with good works.
Yeah, amen.
But, you know, to our natural mind, it's like, that's a tall order.
Yeah, what is
go and sin no more?
Yeah.
It's like, what? You're talking to a human being, right?
Yeah, and we all know it, because just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you don't miss it, doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. But we can go back to, like it says, 1 John 1:9, you know, we ask him to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us all our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. New beginning! New beginning. What a tall order, though. He's asking us, he's asking this woman, go and sin no more. And so, don't you know it, every one of us, our hearts seem to wander at times. We make a mistake, we cop an attitude, we say something we shouldn't say. But we've got to also tap into the strength and the power that can keep us on this road. And when you were born again, a miracle happened. That old stony heart that was in you has been replaced with a heart of flesh. It's good. He put a new spirit within us. See, when we were born into this earth, we were born with a fallen nature, which is Satan's nature. However, when we're born again, we're born again in our spirit man, and we now have the nature of God inside of us. The Bible declares that the Spirit of Christ comes and dwells within you. The Spirit of Christ. The Bible says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. The mighty Holy Spirit comes. This same Holy Spirit that Pastor Mamie spoke about, that hovered over the face of the deep, and as soon as God said, let there be light, he caused it to happen. That's the power you and I have living inside of us. Yeah. And you know what? I prayed earlier that, you know, the lid would be taken off of our believing, that we start to believe for greatness that God has delivered to us. If the Holy Spirit dwells within us, are we living below the expectation that God has for our lives? I think we could all say yes. But I would hope that we would all say, I don't want to stay there. I want to keep living. I want to grow. I want to find out about this Jesus. I want to know. See, the Holy Spirit is the greater one. He is the comforter. He's the counselor. He's going to lead and guide us away from difficulties that are abundant in this planet. Greater is he who dwells in us than he who is in the world. And with his abilities, and us yielding to him, again, trusting him to lead us on this road, he's going to take us from one triumph to the next, the Bible declares. He's going to make you and I more than a conqueror over the habits that used to be dealing with, our hang-ups, our bad attitudes. Maybe you have a prejudice. Listen, God wants you to get rid of that stuff because he doesn't. And we're born of his Spirit. You know, how do we do this? How can we just, just always hanging into the Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, help me, help me, help me. Well, that's a good prayer to pray. But also, God has done something really marvelous. He's given us his word. He's given us his word. And this is a supernatural book. This is a supernatural book. Look at what it says here. Because saying go and sin no more is a tall order for anybody. But, you know, open up to the center of your Bible. You might open it up to the book of Psalms. And I want you to look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I want to start at verse 9, and I want to read 11. 9, 10, and 11. How can we walk this planet and sin no more? Oh, it's so good. That Psalm 119 is really pretty amazing anyhow. Psalm 119, I'm going to start at verse 9, 9, 10, and 11. Well, I just love to hear pages turn in the Bible. And I know that's going to turn into a thing of the past because everybody's got a smartphone or an iPad or whatever. So unless you can put an app, is there an app you can get that makes pages sound like you're turning pages? That would be cool.
There's an app on my Mac that's called Pages, but it doesn't. You
know, it doesn't make the
doesn't
noise.
It doesn't do that.
Okay, let's read what it says. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Here's the answer. By obeying your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This verse is telling you that there is supernatural power in the word of God. And when it's stored up in your heart, by reading and meditating, it's not just simply memorizing the word. It's actually owning the word yourself. You meditate on it. You start to live it out. That has the power to change you. Again, we give you the challenge this year to read through the New Testament. And I'd love to see how many hands went up there to say, yes, we're reading the New Testament. I just want to remind you, for those of you who have not started, you still have time. You can't say, oh, well, I'll never make it through. I'll remind you, there's 259 chapters in the New Testament. So that means if you did start January 1st, you'll be done September 16th. Now, September 16th is a Sunday, so we could have a real celebration here. Yeah. So it's all going to depend on you, whether you follow through on this or not.
And there really are so many plans that you could,
yes,
you could do. I mean, just get on YouVersion and choose something. I mean, there are tons of devotionals on there, and devotionals are great. I recommend devotionals. I think every one of us should have something that we go to every day that yes. We open up. And listen to God, set apart some time for God. Otherwise, frankly, it's impossible for us to walk the road that God wants us to walk, individually and even as a church.
Agreed.
Because his word, he says in Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, he says is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so if
yeah,
we're not,
describe that.
You know, I mean, think about a lamp. Years ago, I mean, if you shut off all the lights in this room and you held up a lamp in front of you, how much light would it give you in circumference around you? I mean, you might be able to go 5-6 feet in front of you, but you're not. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's like our roadmap in life. And yeah. So If you know, today you're getting light for this much of your life, but he doesn't say my word is a spotlight to tell you the beginning from the beginning to the end. It's not a spotlight.
Right.
It's a lamp to our feet and light to our path. So if you want to know, well, what's going to happen down over there? You don't have grace to go down there yet. You just keep taking the step in front of you, but you need his word.
Yes.
To guide you for this day to get you to that step. Otherwise, if you shut the light out, think about it. You just wander. You just start wandering in the dark, and you don't know if you're going down over here and thinking, well, this seems all right. This seems all right to me. If we end up going by our feelings, we're going to be in trouble.
Boy, amen.
Because the problem is the world is getting darker and darker. And it's getting more and more blatant, but it's been subtle. I mean, we just had this conversation here recently with some of you about how much has changed in 5 years. Things 15 years ago that I'm thinking, I mean, somebody just, there was an article in the newspaper about a birth certificate. Someone just had a birth here in Butler. It was the accountant or the city controller or somebody, and they sent his birth certificate. The baby's now a couple months old, and it said parent number one and parent number two on it, his wife's name and his name. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't this be mother and father? Well, they long story short, he called Metcalf, the representative, who then got in touch with Governor Wolf's office and just found out that they just arbitrarily changed the way they're making birth certificates now, because they were afraid of a lawsuit that would come from the ACLU that was going to come. And so they broke the law.
They broke the law because they were afraid of a lawsuit.
But, I mean, I thought now it's parent one, parent two. I mean, biologically, you're not going to produce a child unless it is a female and a male. It's just, but the darkness is just seeping in. And it's been little by little, but it's getting pretty blatant. It's coming pretty fast. And the concern for us as pastors, really leading a group of people, like God saying, you know, help shepherd these people. It's like, well, we ought to be reading the word. It has to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Otherwise, if we just kept dimming the lights in this room, you had put it on a dimmer switch, and it just took several hours of time. You know, you really wouldn't notice the incremental darkness. Your eyes would just adjust, just like they do. And you're getting along, and you're moving along with it, and you're thinking, this is fine, there's no problem here. But if we turn, I mean, if it went down dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, you might be going, wow, it's hard to see in here, compared if we turned it way up to the light, you would see the contrast. And that's what we need to live and walk the road that God has us on. If his word must be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path every day, to give you your 5 feet in front of you for today and your 5 feet in front of you for the next day. That's how we'll stay on the path.
Amen.
And so,
it's the word of God. It really is. It is the word of God that will help establish you in life.
And we need to be able to see the difference, I think, between the light and dark. I think for me, that is the scariest part.
Yes.
That as Christians, as followers of Christ, we've got to discern the darkness around us. Otherwise, it gets dimmer and dimmer, and we just accept it.
Right.
We can't accept it. God's not calling us that route.
The word is the standard. And in the latter days, there's going to be a great deception that will be permeating this earth. I believe it's already here and already started. This is the word of God, and this is what's going to help you discern between what is true and what is a half truth, what is true and what is three quarters true. Because if it's three quarters true, it's a lie. God wants us to walk down the road, his road,
and keep the light shining bright. You know, the scripture says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter, is a proverb, unto the perfect day. And so even though the world around us is getting darker and darker, our path can shine brighter and brighter. You know, but it does take a commitment from us. This is one thing that the Lord won't do, you know, He gives us every opportunity. He makes us brand new on the inside. He gives us his very own righteousness. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. But the sad part is you can sit there and do nothing with it.
Right.
And I promise you, you'll get to the end of your life and you will regret it. Because the day will come when we're going to all stand before Jesus. Scripture talks about this. And he's going to ask us, he's going to look at our life and see through and say, what did you do with your life in the earth? Did you live it for yourself or did you live it for me? Did you let my word be a lamp to your feet? Did you obey me? Did you love me? Did you serve me? And opportunities like this, you know, let's just bow our heads for a moment, because these are just opportunities for us at the beginning of a year to recommit ourselves to walking with God, to serving him, to living for his purpose.
Yes.
To get in his word every day. To let it be food for our bodies, our spiritual bodies, and a lamp to our path.
Just like the woman caught in adultery, Jesus gave her a new beginning and set her on a new road. You might be here today and you could judge your life and you can recognize that, you know, I thought I was following Jesus, but I'm still not quite there. We just want to give you the opportunity to surrender to him.
Yeah.
Give your life to him. The road that he has for you is a road of blessing, not curses. It's a road of joy and peace, not confusion.
But it does require a response from us. It requires a commitment from us. So just you in your own heart today, you know, if you know you're saved, you're born of the Spirit, then that's between you and the Lord. I would encourage you to listen to his voice and the road and the path that he's calling you to walk.
Give your all to him. Give your all to him. And if you're here today and you recognize the kingdom that you've been following is the kingdom of darkness, and you want to be translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous light, it's only through Jesus Christ. And it's when you bow your knee to him. If you're ready today to be free from your past, free from your sins, you want to give your life to Jesus, get on that new road, have a fresh start. I ask you to slip your hand up so I can see it, and then you can put it right back down. We'll pray a prayer, and you'll be born again right here at Community Life Church. Right here in Butler, the pearl of the world.